You got some prayer requests over there, sister? No, ma'am.
We have a praise report from Ed, who we prayed for. He passed his CDL. We want to pray for Joe Pyatt. He's having an ablation procedure on his other knee this morning. We want to pray for Monica's cousin, Christy, in Florida, who's having a hysterectomy today. And I have a friend named Maria. Her daughter, Shannon, is in active addiction. She was last known to be on the streets in Oklahoma City, and she hasn't heard from her in quite a while.
I do have one more. It just came to me. Let's pray for the Hayes family. They lost a family member, a young man. Daryl Hayes lost his son. So let's cover that family in prayer. They've already had the service and everything.
Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, we know that you are and were aware of every one of these circumstances. I want to just begin with this praise report, Lord God, that Ed passed his CDL, and we are so thankful for that, Father. We're thankful for giving wisdom and knowledge and for prospering and blessing, Lord God, and we give you praise for that. Lord, we're thankful and we're praising you for every healing that's taking place right now. We're thankful for the fact that you've given doctors the ability to help people, Lord, like Joe Pyatt, who's having an ablation on his knee this morning. We believe, Father, that we know that Joe and Neva have not entered into this procedure, Lord God, without careful prayer, that Joe believes this is the best thing that he can do. And I know that they are praying together, and I pray with them over this procedure and over any other pain and ache and any other circumstance that's going on in Joe's life. Father, we cancel every assignment of the enemy. We speak health and life and healing over him in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for Monica's cousin, Christy, Lord God. Pray that her procedure would go perfectly well, Lord God, that any complications that she'd been having, we completely eliminated by this procedure. And Father, that she'd have a supernaturally wonderful recovery, Lord, that you might get glory from it, Jesus. And Father, we pray, Lord, in agreement with Maria for her daughter, Shannon, Lord God. We call Shannon by name right now. Lord, you know exactly where Shannon is and everything that's going on in her life. You gave her the power of free choice, and she has not chosen wisely. Father, she's been taken captive by the devil to do his will, Lord God, but we say that he has no authority to hold her captive. You said whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. We declare by the authority of Jesus Christ that Shannon is to be loosed from this addiction. She is to be loosed from her circumstances, and Lord, we pray that you put it in Shannon's heart to get where she can get help. We pray that workmen come across her path, Lord. There are many, many good programs and people who've been where Shannon is that can reach out to her and help her. And I pray, Lord, that Shannon would get in touch with her mom. And Lord, that she would be known to be safe and made whole, Father. I pray that maybe she might find her way and stumble across a place called My Brother's Keeper or one of those places like that, Father. And I pray that by whatever means you get Shannon healed and delivered and set free. And Father, we pray over the Hayes family, Lord God. We know that only you can comfort us in a time, Lord God, where we're letting someone go. And Father, we are comforted by the fact that heaven is real, that your word is true, and that Jesus is Lord. And I pray over this family, Lord, that you would speak your word of peace and grace into their hearts, even as you did for John Ternes' family yesterday as we had his service and celebrated the fact that his pain and suffering were over and he has arrived safely in his home in heaven. We give you thanks for every good promise, for the hope that we have in you, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Heart to heart, help, hope, and healing, Western Oklahoma, forgiven and set free. A 4-week compassionate and confidential Bible study designed to help guide suffering and hurting women through the emotional scars of past abortion experiences. This study helps women deal with issues such as relief, denial, depression, anger, letting go, forgiveness, and acceptance. There's only one more Monday left, y'all. April 24th. It'll be from 6 to 7. For more information or to enroll, you can call 580 243-2229, Monday through Thursday, noon to 6. Main Street Revival, April 27th through the 29th from 6 to 8. 1101 North Main Street here in Elk City. The revival will be held at the cross corner of Country Club and Main.
Praise God.
Yeah. This Saturday, April 22nd, Red Rock and Swoda are having a drive-through drug take-back day to dispose of unused or expired medications safely. There'll be the locations are Weatherford at Southwestern, at SARE at the SWASU campus as well, and at Burns Flat City Hall. They will have free at-home disposal kits, medication lockboxes, and Narcan available at Elk City and Burns Flat. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in SARE, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
We hope today.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. And his title for today is The Grace Life. Get some.
The Grace Life. Yeah, let grace work in your life so that you can live in the truth and not suffer consequences. That's just how it really is. See, well, God will forgive me. Absolutely. Absolutely. God will forgive you if you repent of your sins. Turn away from that sin. Confess that sin. Absolutely. God will forgive you. No doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that your actions will not have consequences. God doesn't want you suffering consequences. He wants you enjoying holiness. Holiness. Don't let the word holiness scare you. It means to be set apart, to be designated for a specific purpose of God. It doesn't mean perfect. Only God is perfect. But he allowed his perfection to be placed on our account so that our sins were placed on his account. And because of that, we ought to respond. by trying to let him transform us, working together with the grace of God to transform us into the image of Christ. We're being transformed glory by glory, line upon line, moment by moment. Jesus is changing us. Today, you should be more like Christ than you were last week, especially last year. You know, we should not be able to look back in our lives at a time when we were a better Christian than we are now. That's the truth. We should be growing. It doesn't mean we're not going to have bad days. Let's get real. We're all going to, you're going to fall on your face sometimes, but get up. And then look behind you and go, what was that made me fall? And make level path for your feet. If that thing made you fall, then you make note of it. If it's up to you to be able to remove that, then remove it. If it's not, make note of it. And say, well, for one thing, say, I'm not going down that path again. I bet Monica knows the answer to this. Don't allow yourself to be lured into the arena of
emotion.
Why not?
Because you get your tail kicked.
Every time. She knows that because she's heard it at church repeatedly. You see, sometimes we get lured into it. Well, emotion's a good thing. We feel love with emotion. Yeah, emotion can be a good thing, but it's also emotion, hyper-emotionalism makes you act in the flesh, and the flesh is never good. It's never good. So we were reading in Hebrews chapter 12. If you weren't with us before, I want you to join us in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're talking about the Word of God talking to us in verse 11, 12, 11. No discipline seemed pleasant at the time, but painful. Later, however, produces a harvest of righteousness and peace who those are trained by it. So we need to be trained, like potty trained. We need to be trained. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms, your weak knees. In other words, get stronger. Make level paths for your feet. In other words, get rid of the stuff that makes you fall down all the time. So that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. And here's our, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So don't think you can just live any old way and you're going to be looking around seeing the Lord everywhere in your life. That's not going to be the way it is. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. And that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble that defile many. See to it that none of you is sexually immoral or godless like Esau. If you don't know the story of Esau, go back and read it, Jacob and Esau in the Old Testament in Genesis. Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. For a single meal. A bowl of red bean soup. And afterwards, here, verse 17, I want you to get here, and then we're going to go somewhere else. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You can live in the truth, or you can face the consequences. If you live the grace-filled life, allowing grace to work in you, grace gives you the ability to choose the good. You have to cooperate with it. But you never have to do it on your own. That's the point that I really want to make today. You and I can live holy lives, pleasing to God, by allowing His grace not only to save us, but to work in us to choose what is good and what is right and what is pleasing to God. I'm going to quote one for you. We're not going to go there, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Romans 12, be transformed. Don't conform to the pattern of the world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove what is the good, the perfect, the acceptable will of God. In other words, you'll know what's right. If your mind gets transformed, you're going to have to do that in the Word. It doesn't come on. You can't put your Bible under your pillow and sleep on it and think you're going to wake up thinking differently. You have to retrain yourself to live Christ-like, because you probably had some pretty good training how to live un-Christ-like. And habits. But habits can be broken, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Some of them are hard to get past. Your mouth. That's a hard habit to change, to speak positively instead of negatively. Some people, their favorite adjectives that they used to use are no longer acceptable because they're a Christ follower. But they may slip and still say some of those ugly words. But habits can change. But your mind needs to be renewed, and you need to believe that there's grace to help you change that. Don't just go, well, that's the way I am, but God loved me. Yes, God loves you, and that is the way you am, because you am choosing to stay there. That's a fact. That is a fact. Choices have consequences. Esau chose to give up his birthright for a simple meal. A temporary catering of the flesh cost him the blessing of God. Now I want you to go back to 1 Kings 13 in the Old Testament. We on back there. 1 Kings 13. And I'm going to go through this pretty quickly, but if we don't finish it, I'm assuming if you're listening to me today, you know how to read. If you don't, you probably know somebody who does. And they can read it to you. But I needed to take you here. 1 Kings chapter 13. And look at my Bible, Monica, in this chapter. Not every chapter in the Old Testament in my Bible looks like that. The reason it looks like that is because there's so much in this one chapter account to learn from. So let's get there. Verse 1, 1 Kings 13:1. By the word of the Lord, in other words, God told him, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. As Jeroboam, who was the king of Judah, was standing by the altar making an offering, he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord. O altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. And on you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who make offerings here. And human bones will be burned on you. And that same day the man of God gave a sign. This is the sign the Lord has declared. This altar will be split apart and ashes on it will be poured out. Let me just say this. This man was a true prophet of God. It tells us that he was sent there by the word of God. And what he prophesied, a son named Josiah will be born to the house of David, was fulfilled 285 years later. That same day, the man of God gave that sign, this altar will be split apart. When King Jeroboam heard this, now the reason why, this is not an altar of, it's supposed to be altar of God, but they've been all offering all kinds of garbage. They're worshiping Baal, Molech, Ashtaroth, all these foreign gods, all these demons. And a man of God from Judah came to Bethel. You know what Bethel is in Hebrew? House of God. It's a city over there named Bethel. But the word Bethel means house of God. So he came to the house of God to bring correction. You know what the house of God is today? It's me and you. It is our church houses, I believe, when we're in them. But we're the house of God. So the word of God, God sent a prophet to speak to the people of God. He'd speak to us. When King Jeroboam heard what the man cried out against the altar at Bethel, in verse 4, he stretched out his hand from the altar and he said, seize him! But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up, so he couldn't pull it back. I mean, just got mummified looking. That's power. That's God going, hey. This rotten king is points at the prophet of God and says, seize him, and his arm shrivels up, and he can't even bring it back. Just mummified. That'd be like, you imagine the look on his face when that happened? He'd go, oh, my gosh. The king said to the man of God, verse 6, intercede to the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand will be restored. So the man of God interceded with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored, and it became as before. Whoa, that's power. This is a powerful man of God right here, amen? And the king said to the man of God, come home with me, and I'll give you something to eat, and I'll give you a gift. But the man of God answered the king, watch this, even if you were to give me half of your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. Why not? Verse 9, for I was commanded by the word of the Lord. saying, "You must not eat bread or drink water or return by the road the way you came." So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel. In other words, he obeyed God. He turned down a dinner invitation from the king because he said, point, matter-of-factly, "The reason why I will not go with you, even if you offered me half of your possessions, I wouldn't go with you, because God told me not to. God told me not to eat in this country, not to drink in this country, and not to return by the road that I came on." That's pretty simple. Any five-year-old can understand that. Don't eat that, don't drink that, don't go there. Okay? Simple. He knows exactly what God requires of him. He is not confused at all. Now, there was a certain old prophet, verse 11, living in Bethel, whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. In other words, about the miraculous. And they also told their father what he said to the king. In other words, how he couldn't eat or drink or return by that road. And their father asked him, "Which way did he go?" And his son showed him the road which the man of God from Judah had taken. Verse 13, "So he said to his son, 'Saddle the donkey for me.' And when they saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. And he found him sitting under an oak tree. And he asked, 'Are you the man of God who came from Judah?' 'I am,' he replied. So the prophet said to him, 'Come home with me and eat.' And the man of God said, 'I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place.'" Why not? Verse 17, "I have been told by the word of the Lord, 'You must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came.'" Ask you a question. Is this guy confused about what God's requiring of him? No, he knows exactly what God told him. God told me this. King, God told me this. Prophet, which listen, it doesn't say God's prophet here. It says prophet. He said, "The Lord told me I'm not to eat bread or drink water or return by the way I came." Well, the old prophet answered, "I too am a prophet, as you are." Be careful when someone talks like that. "An angel said to me by the word of the Lord." An angel said to me. I'd be like, "Big fat deal, dude, the Lord said to me." I'm pretty sure that if the Lord said, and you're claiming that an angel said, the Lord said overrules what you think or you claim that an angel said. So this old prophet said, angel said to me by the word of the Lord, "Bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water." Let me ask you a question. Is God confused?
No.
Does he change his mind?
No.
No. If he tells you something, he tells you that. And until he himself tells you something different, that is your marching order. Amen. So this prophet told him that, "Bring him back with you." But what was the deal? Verse 18, last part, says, "But he was lying to him." He was lying. This baffles me. Verse 19, "So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house." Why would he do that? He knows he's not supposed to. Why would he do that? Let me tell you. I can tell you why. He's hungry. And that sounds good to him. I mean, he's sitting under the oak tree, the shade tree. He's tired. He's traveled a long ways. He's probably thirsty. He's probably hungry. He's got flesh. But does he know what God told him? Yeah, he knows exactly what God told him. But somebody else come along and told him something that appealed to his flesh. And so here's what he's going to do. "Well, I know God told me that, but now I guess God's decided that I've done a really good job, and God decided that I could go do that. I mean, I feel like God's okay with it. I can go eat your bread. I can go drink your water. I feel like God's okay with it. Because you said that an angel appeared to you, right?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, yeah, that's what it is." And he goes, "All right, I'll go with you. Because, man, I was hungry anyway." So he goes. And he returned with him, and he ate and drank in his house. And while they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet. God can use anything. He can use Balaam donkey. The word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. And I would add this, who also lied to him and tempted him. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah and said, "This is what Jehovah says." That's where it says Lord there. "This is what God says, Jehovah God. You have defied the word of the Lord, and you have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back and ate bread and drank water in the place he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore," or because of that, "your body will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers." Let me translate. You ain't going to make it home. When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him, and as he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his body was thrown down on the road, and both the donkey and the lion stood beside it. That is supernatural. Because the donkey would have ran off, and the lion would have not ate him or something, and the donkey and the lion wouldn't be standing there looking at him. So you can see that this is a supernatural thing. I did not say that God caused this lion to come out and kill him. I did not say that. I simply said that it was supernatural. In other words, that lion is not operating like lions normally operate. The lion normally would attack the donkey. It's a lot more food there. The lion didn't attack the donkey at all. And the donkey wasn't afraid of the lion. Weird. This is a weird. This is, let me say it how it is. This is demonic. Something going on here. Man was killed by the lion, and the lion and the donkey were just standing there looking at him. Verse 25, some people passed by and saw the body thrown down there, the lion standing beside the body, and they went and reported it to the city where the old prophet lived. And when the people had brought him back from his journey heard of it, he said, "It is the man of God who defied the word of the Lord. The Lord has given him over to the lion, which has mauled him and killed him, and the word of the Lord, just as the word of the Lord had warned him." And the prophet said to his son, "Saddle the donkey for me," and they did so, and he went out and found the body thrown down on the road, and the donkey and the lion standing beside it. They stood there a long time, apparently. That's not normal. Something going on here. And the lion had neither eaten the body nor mauled the donkey. That lion is being controlled by something that is not natural. The prophet picked up the body of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back to his own city and mourned him and buried him there. And when he laid the body in his own tomb, they mourned over him. And he said, "Oh, my brother." You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of all the drug addicts standing around when one of their friends overdoses, and they're the ones that gave them the drug. And I understand that they're deceived. I understand that. I get that. If they weren't taken captive by the devil, they wouldn't be the way they are. I get that. They need prayer. They need deliverance. They need to be loved. But the fact is that if there's someone in your life trying to lead you astray, they're not your friend. And they're not from God. They may claim that an angel appeared to them and said that you all are to party together this weekend. They're lying to you. Anybody who tells you to do the opposite of what God told you to do is doing it by the power of Satan. I believe it's the power of Satan. Even though it's not, they don't say Satan nowhere in this story. I see his hand all over it. You know how come? Because Peter said this, 1 Peter 1:8, "Be self-controlled and be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him." Resist, not assist. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because why? Because you can live in the truth, or you can suffer the consequences. You can live in the grace, allowing grace to work in you, not using grace as a license to sin. Because you can claim grace all day long while you're sinning, but I'm going to promise you this, the lion's still going to get you. Grace or no grace, the lion's still going to get you. Because grace doesn't allow you the license to sin freely. Grace allows you the opportunity to be born again so that, number one, you don't want to. And sometimes we do things we don't want to do. Our old flesh gets the best of us, and we feel compelled, and we give in to it. And if that's the case in your life, you need to repent, and you need to repent quickly. If you don't, your life depends on it, because your life very well may depend upon it. But you can turn away from sin. There's grace to help you do that. You can live the grace life because of Jesus. If you need help today turning your life around, I want you to pray with me real quick. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you now and I admit I need your help. I admit that I do sinful things. And listen, if you're not saved, you say this: I am a sinner and I need to be saved. I ask forgiveness and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross and rose from the dead. And I confess Jesus now as my Lord and my personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. Now help me, Lord. Help me, God, to read your word, to find the church you want me to be in, the people you want me to be with. Train me, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from our beautiful sister in Christ, Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.